Yankees another win last night. New York Jets training camp. New York Giants training camp. But just out of the gate, a quick question I have. Just inquiring minds want to know. And not even a New York thing, but inquiring minds want to know. And I'm an inquiring mind. Good afternoon, Big Mac. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. That's what great. I would say if anyone asked me about you, the first thing I would say is he's an inquiring mind.
An inquiring mind.
I totally agree.
So yesterday I'm watching the video of the Tony Romo DUI stop.
Yes.
Fascinating video.
I suppose.
I don't know that he was drunk, to be honest. He looks a little disheveled.
No doubt.
But I can't, he's not like slurring his words. Mm-mm. He's a little maybe out of it, but isn't Tony Romo always a little bit out of it when you hear him on the broadcast? But here's the thing I went to. So I see, I'm sure you saw at least parts of it.
Yeah.
I'm watching the situation there with the DUI stop, the body cam on the police officer. And he refuses to do the breathalyzer, but he does like the physical thing. He then says, my grandparents are waiting for me in a private plane.
Yep.
And they're like, well, you're going to jail. Right? You're being arrested for OUI, OWI, whatever they call it there, right? What I'm trying to figure out, and I can't get this through my head, and maybe there's some law enforcement people that can help me out or people that have experienced this kind of thing in their lives before that can help me out a little bit. How come I haven't seen the body cam on the Kyle Shanahan accident?
Mm-hmm.
It exists. Right? It's almost like a rule now in every state that officers have to wear body cams.
Should.
Both for their protection and if there's a little
Towardness.
Untowardness happening.
Is that a word?
You know, for the person that's getting busted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the Tony Romo one. Tony Romo got pulled over for a DUI this past weekend, right?
Yep.
Kyle Shanahan got in a car accident more than 2 weeks ago. I'm sure the responding officers to the traffic crash had body cams on. How come I haven't seen it yet?
No
and
idea.
I'm one of those guys, I want to see it.
I'm sure
you I want to sit there, I want to analyze it, I want to see it, I want to reverse it, play it again. I'm now totally invested in the cover-up that is happening for the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. I say this on behalf of my starting quarterback. Because every time Geno Smith does something stupid in a car or at his house, there's a damn body cam on that guy.
Yeah.
I've seen all three speeding pullovers. I've seen the police arrive at his home when the gal pal accuses him of beating her, right? And I've not seen 30 seconds of the Kyle Shanahan body cam. Can you explain to me why not?
I wish I could, Craig.
Well,
I wish I could give you an answer. I'm one of those inquiring minds like you. We talked about it yesterday. I have no idea why. And it is funny how, I mean, immediately, this just happened. We have every aspect of the Tony Romo situation. Every aspect. I just saw a report now. The cops are claiming that he had an open alcohol container in the car.
And he was saying, there's one part, she goes, there's two shooters in the car.
Yeah.
And he goes, but were they drunk or drank, I think says.
Yeah.
And she goes, there's in the car. He goes, yeah, but did I open them and drink them?
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to transport alcohol from one place to another place. Now, I'm not sure what the answer ultimately to that question is or was. But you're right. Like, I've seen, saw the video on the road. They didn't look like they're in some kind of garage.
Yeah, he pulls into a garage
apparatus or something, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen that one. But 2.5 weeks ago, Kyle Shanahan almost loses his eyeball in a car crash that he's responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen a damn video. And I'm not going to stand for
it.
Because I know full well, if I get pulled over,
that video.
There's going to be video.
Oh, that's for sure.
If you get pulled over, the guy might say, what's it like to work with Gordon? And then your video is going to get released as well.
Yeah.
And I've
put up with Gordon,
that
Giant hater. That's what I'm getting lately.
Yeah,
getting
let me get into that as well.
Getting a lot of, my God, man, why does he hate the Giants so much?
Yeah, I just saw
getting a lot of that.
Sean Morash out there in the hallway, who I've tried to give radio advice to, and he was trying to throw it back at me today.
Oh,
very funny.
He
very
was
funny.
So, I walked out of the office, he was disappointed it wasn't you, because he was ready to get in your face.
He was waiting. I said to Sean Morash a few months ago, maybe like in January or February, because I'm a fan of his. I think he's the future, as you are, of WFN. I mean that. And I said to him, let me just give you some advice. Unsolicited, albeit, but I like to see younger guys do well. I do. I get joy out of seeing you guys blossom. You know, I've done it for 35 years. I know I'm on the back nine. You guys aren't, right? And I said to him, you can't do crazy every day.
Right.
You can't. You can't be crazy take guy every day.
So you just picked yesterday.
You got to pick your spots. So I'm walking into the studio and he goes, Craig, I want to give you some radio advice. You can't do crazy. And I go, number one, it was a Tuesday. All right, that's number one. Number one. Number two, here's the funniest thing about Giant fans. Like, I guess he's a Giants fan.
Of course.
And you're a Giant fan.
He has two Giant podcasts.
Okay, I was unaware of that. Yes. I apologize. All right. Here's the problem with you and with Sean Morash, you know, questioning my take yesterday or my comment yesterday that John Harbaugh is the most overrated coach in the NFL over the last, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when people, and this is a big thing on Twitter too, I find, that when people find a take I might have objectionable or they disagree with it, I know I win the argument when the only thing you can say is, Craig, you're wrong, or you're crazy, or it's not true. But you have no tangible basis to back up why you disagree with me. I've given you tangible evidence as to why I think John Harbaugh is overrated. He went to a single AFC championship game with a two-time MVP quarterback, hardest position in sports to play. All right, and an above-average defense for most of that time, not all that time. Last year, obviously, throughout the majority of the year, they were a lousy defensive team. They didn't pick it up through the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Well-documented. So you might want to disagree with my take that you guys shouldn't be, you know, high-fiving each other that John Harbaugh is your quarterback because I think he's overrated. I'm sorry, coach, because I think he's overrated. And when I give you an example, I'll give you a great example that's online last night. So I told you that he has more double-digit second half and fourth quarter blown leads than any coach in football in the last decade. That's a fact. You can't argue against it. It's a tangible fact, right? So a guy on Twitter writes to me, he goes, from 2010 to 2021, he only had, whatever, five blown saves, right? Whatever it was.
I saw this week.
And I go, convenient of you to stop at 2021.
Right.
Like 22, 23, 24, 25, those seasons didn't happen. And would I rather compare what John Harbaugh did in 2010 or what he did last year? And that's another example of I win, you lose. Because there's no debating against what I said. Well, none. It doesn't exist. You can't. Well, it's an argument that's already done. I've won it already.
Well, the debate would be how many coaches have coached for that long?
That's not an answer to what I'm saying.
You said he has the most
over the last 5 years. I'll give you the last 5 years.
All right, last 5 years.
Last 5 years, the most double-digit blown leads in the second half and the fourth quarter of any coach in the NFL.
Yep.
There's no defense to that.
No, it's a fact.
It's, hey, you know what? You're right,
but
we needed a change. Okay, I accept that. Hey, Dable had to go. I accept that.
Yeah.
Right? There's rationales to
That doesn't make him a bad coach. I know you brought it up specifically because we were talking about how that was a problem for the Giants last year.
Yes, the blown leads. Right.
So your point would be, well, what makes you think he would fix it?
Yeah, context.
It's been a problem for him.
Right.
But my point would be, okay, that's fair. I think you are fair in that.
Yeah.
I think you go too far when you can't admit that he's a better head coach than the last failed one of the New York Giants who hasn't had any experience outside of the one time being a failed New York Giants head coach. But sure, that's a fair take that we're expecting him to solve a problem that's been a problem for him over the last 5 years.
That's right. Because your argument yesterday was, and rightfully so,
that with better coaching,
Dable blew more second half and fourth quarter leads than anybody. And by the way, he was terrible at that. Well documented. But my response, as you just enumerated, was, but the guy you replaced him with is the worst fourth quarter coach in football in the same time span. So why would you suddenly think that, hey, if we play decent football, we're going to get better coaching in the fourth quarter when Harbaugh is a worse fourth quarter coach than Dable was?
Again, he's not a worse fourth quarter.
In the last 5 years,
no,
he is.
No, he's not, just because he has more. How many more? Like, it's also percentage. How many double-digit leads did he build?
Okay.
Like, I mean, I don't know how many games the Giants led by double digits. It wasn't many, and they blew them all, Craig. I'm assuming that over those 5 years, the Ravens had a hell of a lot more double-digit leads than the New York Giants did. And I'm look, I just you can't I think it's a fair counterpoint to the argument they'll be better coached in the fourth quarter. Fair counterpoint. Thank but you. Your overall sentiment of who John Harbaugh is not fair based on that one sentiment. The dude has done nothing but win. And to have him come in off of the lousy coaching this team has had for a decade and say there shouldn't be any expectation of anything better, forget all his winning, forget his culture building, forget all of that. He's blown leads in the fourth quarter just like Dable did. I think is a short-sighted argument. It was specific to a point, which is fair, but then like you have to acknowledge he's one of the better head coaches in the NFL.
I don't know that he is.
Again,
I don't know that he is.
I don't know how you could possibly
say that. He's had a great quarterback is what he's had at his disposal for the last decade. And I can tell you
and he's won that
there's not a single New York Giants head coach in the last what? 7 years?
Well, they haven't
that's
had, an
had
MVP,
a great quarterback.
They haven't had an MVP quarterback in longer than that.
I mean,
I don't even know if the Giants have. I'm trying to think. When's the last time they ever had an MVP?
I don't think the Giants, maybe back in the 50s.
Did Y.A. Tittle win an MVP?
I'm going to assume he probably did.
I have no idea. But, I'll be totally honest with you. I'm not sure if the MVPs even were given
out.
Right,
that's
the
point. That's the exact point.
So the Giants might not have ever had an MVP quarterback.
Regular season?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
That's absolutely. Modern era, they haven't. Right. Right,
so doesn't that nullify the argument?
No,
like, almost
because he did less with more. I would tell you that's harder to be the Giants head coach in the Daniel Jones era than it is to be the Ravens head coach in the Lamar Jackson era. You can agree with that. That's an obvious statement.
Yes, obviously.
Right, so obviously you give me a top five quarterback in the NFL, I'm going to show your coach that suddenly looks like he knows what the hell he's doing. And right? And that's how I view it. And you'll see it. But just you people fascinate me. You think I hate the Giants. I've never hated the Giants a day in my life. The Giants have been an embarrassing franchise for the last 15 years, and that cannot be argued. There's no argument against that.
There is
no. They've been an embarrassment. Oh, but it's the New York Giants. New York Giants, my ass. The New York Giants.
That's what they need to get back to.
They need to get back to the mid-'80 New York Giants, sure.
Yeah.
They need to get back to the postseason Eli Manning New York Giants, who were not great regular season teams either,
right.
Well documented. But the notion that, oh, Craig just hates on the Giants, and, oh, look, I don't need clicks, all right? I don't need clicks. I'm the most viewed sports guy in America on social media. I don't do it for clicks. I get the clicks because I'm good at what I do, and I put out thought-provoking content. And I'm handsome. What do you want me to do? It's not my fault. I got a good tan. I'm handsome. I'm a handsome guy today. All right? I lost a couple pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I got my flip-flops on. I cut my toenails.
Yeah, what?
Because you have to have cut toenails if you go to work with open toes. Everybody knows
Can
it's a rule.
Can I ask that question, honestly?
Go.
Since we're talking about, you know, inquisitive minds.
Huh?
What the hell is with the open toe policy all of a sudden?
I'm wearing slides, Biggs.
You don't wear slides to work.
You don't?
You got Hoff wearing slides. You're wearing slides.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
The casual nature in which people have shown up to work here is astounding.
You wearing shorts?
I am.
Bang. You're out.
Shorts are okay.
Oh, so because you dictate
shorts
that.
Shorts are different in the
shorts
summer.
Shorts are okay in the workplace, slides aren't?
I got a button down and sneakers on.
Yeah. It's okay to wear shorts and sneakers to work now?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
What happened to the good old days when you wear a jacket and tie to work? You act like a professional.
Your toes are hanging out.
But I cut my toenails.
Well,
that's part
so.
Of the deal. That's part of the deal. If you're going to show your the wolves off to coworkers, you have to groom them. Because there ain't nothing worse than a dude's jacked up feet and he hasn't cut his toenails. Meanwhile, there's a big story here in New York today. And one that I ought to hear... I'm listening to most of the midday show today. Well, at least the first hour I listened to. And I didn't really hear them get into it. I was surprised because after hearing Evan drone on for an hour and a half about how the New York Jets backup quarterback is going to be the starting quarterback this year, talking about Cade Klubnik, who was, a fourth-round pick, I think, right?
Well, there was reports already that he's outperforming Geno Smith in the first practice.
I could outperform Geno Smith in the first practice as well. Like, that's not saying much. Hey, guess what, Billy? Congratulations. You're the tallest Oompa Loompa. Willie wants to give you an extra chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, look at me. Yeah, I'm 4-1. I beat Billy out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that type of thing.
And it's not for lack of preparation. I heard Geno Smith got there first.
He should. Be a team leader.
Well, he also drives very fast.
Yeah, that's also very true. Mm-hmm. Good point. I wonder if he drove his buddy's Aston Martin without an insurance or a license. In any event, so after hearing Evan drone on for an hour about Cade Klubnik, a guy that I have no interest in seeing play, but if he plays, I'll root for him, obviously.
If Klubnik plays...
It's a disaster.
It's not good for
the Jets. It's an absolute disaster.
It's not good for the Jets. Listen, maybe if he becomes something, then it's good for the Jets. But if he's in the game, it means things have gone wrong.
Yes. But later on today, we will break down the comments from my dear buddy, the former head coach of the New York Jets, mm-hmm. Robert Saleh, who I guess their training camp opened, and he had started training camp press conference. And, you know, the Jets open up against the Titans week one, right?
Yes, they do.
And I guess Robert Saleh was asked about, as he circled that game, you know, first game as a Titans head coach, and you're playing against a team that, you know, fired you and embarrassed you publicly, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the direct quote from Robert Saleh was, "We're going to beat their asses. I'm all about it."
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love that he's already started.
I'm sure.
2 months in advance, the Jets-Titans week one matchup,
mm-hmm.
which is big for both franchises, obviously. They're trying to get off on a good start with Brian Daboll there and with the second-year quarterback in Robert Saleh. We're trying to get off on a good start in what's most likely Aaron Glenn's last year as our head coach, right? And Robert Saleh, my guy, didn't waste a New York second on throwing it on the table and saying, "Mine's bigger than yours. We're going to beat their asses. Oh, baby." We'll get to that later on. We do have a great show for you today. We might even do a little Yankee talk in the 5 o'clock hour as well.
Possible.
As the Yankees win again last night, 3-2. Gerrit Cole did a nice job last night.
6 innings, 0 runs.
That's exactly right.
Gerrit Cole.
So all
got
good.
Schlittler on the mound tonight.
Look at us.
Freed.
Who are we playing tonight?
The White Sox.
Again?
Oh, again.
That's the only team we seemingly play these days.
And then again tomorrow, 4-game series.
What?
And then they roll it right into the Cubs. They're in Chicago for a full week.
Yeah, good scheduling on that.
Yeah.
So look at all your calls as well.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
808.
Maybe we should talk about Aaron Boone.
What about
him? Maybe we should talk about Aaron Boone.
Not today.
Okay.
Not today.
And how the entire fan base wanted him fired a week ago,
yeah.
And this dude just keeps winning games.
And now are they 17 over 500 or something?
They're 11-4 in their last 15 games
without Aaron Judge,
without Judge, without Stanton, without Bellinger, without Rodon.
Right,
not bad.
And Freed on a pitch count.
Right,
that's right. And the White Sox are a playoff team.
White Sox are in first place.
Right. Right.
White Sox have scored more runs than the Yankees have.
Yeah. Well, that means if you go 11-4, you know how Boone does it. There'll be a 2-9 streak coming up here at some point.
Thanks.
we'll get your calls. You know the numbers. Here's Pat. That's disgusting. You know, that might have been a little extra hot and sour soup I left behind. Certainly there. Mm-hmm. In any event, Pat, how you doing today, pal?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good, how are you?
A big fan of the show.
Thanks.
Really, really appreciate what you guys do. I follow you guys on Instagram. Always good takes. But I will say, this whole comparing Daboll to Harbaugh, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that.
Okay.
Because I do recall Harbaugh taking the Ravens to the playoffs with Tyler Huntley as the backup. So I look at that and I'm like, all right, like, if your argument is, you know, the Giants never had a quarterback, which I agree with, but there's been times where Harbaugh is still alone without a quarterback. You need Tyler Huntley, a Pro Bowl.
He took a rookie Joe Flacco to the AFC Championship game.
The defense did.
He's the coach.
We're saying.
He's the coach.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. If we're going
to act like he got the most out of Joe Flacco, like, that's crazy talk.
With a rookie quarterback, he went to the AFC Championship game.
That's right.
Okay.
And do you remember what the rhetoric was around that team back then? Where Ray Lewis had to tell everybody in the locker room, you got to stop. And Ed Reed was like, "We have the worst quarterback in football." And then Ray Lewis was like, "No, we don't. He's our quarterback. He's a good quarterback. Blah, 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 blah." Did he win? One time. He's a one-time winner. He never won with Lamar Jackson.
Well, statistically, though, he still has been a consistently good head coach in the NFL. When I'd argue that Daboll got handed his roses pretty early on with his first season. I mean, we snuck up on a lot of people, and then after that, it was hard to
watch. Daboll got his roses because he turned Josh Allen into a quarterback that was drafted to nothing but booze in Buffalo to an MVP. And so one of the top five quarterbacks in the league.
Well, how come
he gets credit for that?
And John Harbaugh doesn't get any credit for developing a running quarterback
who
people thought needed to become a different position when he hit the NFL? And he turned him into a two-time MVP? No, gets no credit for that.
No, because he's the same guy that told the Ravens, let him go. Right? Before he got the big contract.
He didn't.
They offered Lamar Jackson to every team in the league. They were done with Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
And then what did he do? Oh, that's right. He won another MVP. My bad.
But the coach he played under gets no credit for it. There's no credit for the development of a quarterback who was the last pick in the first round after four of the quarterbacks went before him, and everybody said he's probably going to have to switch positions because he's not a quarterback in the NFL. And he went from someone who could hardly complete a pass to someone who's one of the better passers.
Hardly complete a pass? That's not fair. Come on, Lamar Jackson's been money good since he came into the league.
True. That's just not true.
Of course it's true.
At throwing the ball from the pocket? No, he's developed into that.
He didn't have to throw the ball from the pocket when he was younger. Now he's become one of the top pocket passers in football.
Under the tutelage of
Under the tutelage of Todd Monken. Which is why he wanted Todd Monken to come to New York with him.
It all stops at the head coach. He gets credit for it.
Todd Monken gets all the credit for that. You know that.
Oh, that's not true.
John Harbaugh's a special teams coach. He's not an offensive genius.
It's who he hires. It's his system. It's all the head coach.
You might want to rethink that. Just that one point.
He gets credit for it. Not only Todd Monken gets a lot of credit.
Gets most of the credit for the last 5 years of Lamar Jackson's brilliance.
It's all under the head coach. What does he get credit for? He only gets credit for blowing fourth quarter leads.
Well, that's what he's best at.
Nothing else.
That's what he's best at.
He gets no credit for anything else.
He runs a tough ship. I'll give you that. He runs a tough, tight ship.
That wins a lot. That wins every single year.
Give me Lamar Jackson, Dexter Henry, and Zay Flowers, and I'm going to win a lot of games too.
Lamar Jackson was the fifth quarterback drafted, and again, he was not a good passer when he first came into the league. He developed into such, where I'm with you. We argued with that caller who said he can't pass from the pocket.
He's a great
pocket
pass.
He's excellent from the pocket now, but it wasn't always the case. The coach gets credit for everything that happens under his purview. You can give Todd Monken a lot of the credit. I give Brian Daboll a lot of the credit with Josh Allen. Not so much McDermott, but he gets credit for it.
I can't give him credit.
You can't draft a quarterback, watch him blossom into a two-time MVP, and say the coach had nothing to do with it. The only thing we give him credit for is blowing fourth-quarter leads.
I can't because I have stats on my side.
Stats on your side.
2019, his first full season.
Yeah.
Okay? 66% completion percentage.
How many yards down
36
the field?
36 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2019. He's only had 1 year better than that his entire career. And that was 2024.
Ball better now than he did when he first came in here? He was always money good.
As a pocket passer, obviously he's better in the pocket now.
Yeah.
Because that comes with experience.
Right.
That doesn't come with coaching, necessarily.
Come on.
I hope John Harbaugh is successful here. I do. I'm not a hater. I'm not rooting for the Giants. I want the Giants to be good. We're the home of the Giants, man. Right? We're the flagship station for Giants football. I just think there's got to be someone, and no one else in this radio station chooses to be honest with the audience but me, apparently. Someone's got to at least paint a picture of the other side a little bit.
Yeah.
Because from Boomer to Gio to Evan to Tiki to Sean to you to everybody else.
Well, maybe there's a reason for that.
Yeah, you're all blinded.
We're all blinded by what?
You're all blinded.
By his success.
How can you call him successful when he had the MVP of the league and went to a single AFC championship game and lost it at home? How is that successful for you? You guys would run a dude like that out of town.
After he's built up the program to the point of winning 11 games every year, you're right.
I got to take a break.
In 5 or 6 years, if the Giants keep butting their head up against the NFC Championship game and losing, we'll have a different conversation. But they're trying to build something. That's what he does.
888-808-1019. It is the Carson Show with Big Mac. We'll get all your calls right after this.